Well, praise the Lord. My final session. Going to be with the church in Bergen in the morning. Get back to Britain Monday morning. Flying out to Russia with Roger Aubrey the next day. So it's great to be with you. And we'll take your greetings to the saints in Russia that we meet, and to the leaders from Belarus, 40 of them who'll come down to be with us in Russia. God is good all the time. Now, I'm just going to ask if I may, is Teria here? I was given these leaflets, and I'm just wondering whether I can just distribute them. They're from Timothy. They're concerning an outreach. It's the Cardiff School of Mission. It's taking evangelism to Wales and the capital city beginning in January, and it's going for 22 weeks. Now, many of you may not be there, but at least you can read the card. Read the card, because there is also a school going to be in the summer. It's going to be teaching about evangelism, moving in the gifts of the Spirit when you're on the street. And it's also going to be a great opportunity to reach the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Of course, if you've got things like that in your own country, we wouldn't want you to leave your own country to come to Britain. But if you didn't have anything else to do, you know, students sometimes like that, they don't have anything else to do, then we'd invite you to come along.
Yes.
And to join the people from Canada and America and the UK who will be... Would you be kind enough to do that for me, sir?
Yes, sir.
You're very kind. To join with them, because people want to know, they want to know how to sow the seed. And people want to know how to move in the gifts of the Spirit with ordinary people, not in church meetings. Please hear me. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, I find a lot of Christians... We all love having the gifts of the Spirit amongst ourselves. The Holy Spirit wants to move in society. And His gifts are proofs, indications that God loves people. They are the tools to get the job done. Now, a scripture was read this evening from... Let me see, the brother with the striped sweater, and he read from the book of Revelation. I think it was Revelation 5, something like that, I think around there. So perhaps we could look at that for a moment before we get into the last episode of Faith, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 tells us how elders are to elder. How elders are to elder. In Timothy and Titus, you read basically the earthly qualification of an elder. In Revelation chapter 5, you see the spiritual heavenly dimension of eldership. And that's the true nature. So if you want Revelation, draw with me now, because I'm going to give you some insights. Revelation 5, from verse 1. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look! The Lion of the tribe of Judah."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
"The heir of David's throne, he has won the victory."
Amen.
He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.
Amen.
That's what an elder is there to do. Here is an apostle looking at the failure of mankind. No one on earth, no one in heaven, no one under the earth found worthy to open the seal. He weeps bitterly at the failure of mankind. And an elder steps forward. He says, don't look down there. Don't look in another direction. Look! Look at the one who's triumphed. Don't look at your defeat. Look at the victor. Don't look where you overcome. Look at him who's overcome.
Amen.
An elder is to direct people to Christ.
Amen.
There isn't a problem you'll ever face in life that Jesus has not overcome.
Amen.
Church is not a place for people to come in. It's not a hospital where you remain sick.
Amen.
We had to meet the needs of a sick world. And elders are there simply, they are before the throne of God. And they're able to point to him who sits on the throne because the only thing they do is look at him. 24 elders around the throne all looking at him. They don't look at anybody else, only at him. They can tell you about him. They know him. They see him. Revelation upon revelation of him. They're not giving you sterile teaching. They're not giving you something from the past. They tell you something they're seeing right now.
Amen.
When you need a pick-me-up, you need to cast and find an elder who's looking at him. There is no human being that won't let you down. He never does. There's no idol that you've ever had that hasn't got feet of clay. He hasn't got feet of clay. Telling about the Christ is on the throne. He sits on a throne. He had the seals. He had the book.
Yes.
He could open it. Nobody else could.
Yes.
The elders suddenly say, I want you to look at him. Please understand, no matter who the preacher is, no matter what the elder is, no matter what the apostle is, no matter what the prophet is, no matter what the pastor is, no matter what the evangelist is, no matter what your friend is, they're all going to let you down. But he'll never fail you. Doesn't matter what happens in the church, whether it rises up or goes down, whether your friends stay in or leave, you keep your eyes upon the one who sits on the throne.
Amen.
It's exciting times when you look at him.
Yes.
And this is what elders are called to do. They're not here to say, what's the color of the paintwork? What's the color of the chairs? How many chairs are going to be in the building? Do we change that door or put that door?
No.
They're to spend time in his presence.
Yes. Yes.
In order to run around every house to say, how are you doing? Are you fine? Etc., etc. No, no, that's not what they're called to do. The first priority is of an elder is just to keep looking at him.
Amen.
To wait on him.
Yes.
To read the word, to wait on him. To pray and to wait on him. To serve him. So when they come out to talk to us, they've got something to say because they've been listening.
Amen.
We don't want a second-hand message. We want someone who's listened to the throne. And listen to the one on the throne. If you have an eldership like that, if you have an eldership like that, you know what they're going to cause you to do? They're going to cause you to stand in his presence. They're going to cause you to wait in his presence. They're going to cause you to serve the Lord. They're going to cause you to read the scriptures. They're going to cause you to pray. They're going to cause you to listen to what he has to say. It's going to cause a church that's dynamic. A church that cannot be defeated. A church that's overcoming. A church that's going to be ready when he comes.
Amen.
Thank you so much for reading the scripture. I'll leave that to the rest of elders, but if you want to understand what eldership is, forget all that's in Timothy and forget all that's in Titus. Those are the earthly qualifications. You need to understand what elderships do in the heavens. You see, it's not what you see that in, it's not the world that you see that affects the world that you see. It's the world that you don't see affects the world that you see. A spiritual person is not governed by what you see. A spiritual person is governed by what is not seen by the human eye. So now we come to the area of faith. Final session. Open your Bibles, please. Final session. Thank God it's the final session. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Wonderful chapter. Verse 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance now about things we cannot see. This is the only scriptural verse or the only place in scripture that defines what faith is. Faith is the substance, it's the knowing, it's the having of something that is not materially evident at that time. But it's the knowing inside you that you have what you've hoped for. Please understand this. Faith cannot work without hope. Faith has a direction. This is what I'm hoping for, and this is what I'm believing for, but faith says you've got it.
Yes.
Let me tell you a little story. I want to tell you out of my own life, not somebody else's life. I went to a Bible school in Wales in 1963, long time before some of you were born. When I went to that school, I had no money. And we had to pay our fees every term or every semester to go through. And one night I was praying, and I was praying into the early hours of the morning. I hadn't learned to pray then. I used to say prayers. I hadn't learned how to pray. I used to say prayers. But I was waiting before the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, you've got to provide the finance, because if you don't supply it this week, I have to leave this school. And as I'm kneeling there, the Lord says to me, you've got a bank book. I said, a bank book? I don't know what I've got a bank book. He said, yeah, you've got a bank book. Your mother's holding your bank book. So I got in touch with my mother the next day. I said, ma'am, have I got a bank book? Yes, she said, you've got a bank book. It's a bank book that I've put money into the bank for you since you were a little boy. And she said, do you want it? I said, yes, please. So a friend of mine was visiting the house, so he brought me the bank book. I said, Lord, there's enough money in here, it's okay. He said, it's not for you. Told you that story this morning, didn't I? It's not for you. I said, Lord, it's my bank book. No, he said, this money is not for you. You had to go to the principal of the school, and this is what you had to tell him. The money in this account is to go to paying off the students' fees, all the students' fees except mine. So I went to him with my bank book. Told him the story. He said, are you sure? I said, absolutely sure. That's what God told me. He said, all right. The next day, we were in the prayer meeting, in the college prayer meeting, and the principal walked in, and you could always tell when he was happy and on top. He came with his handkerchief, waving his handkerchief. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. He was from Norway. No, he was not from Norway, I forgot. He was from another country. that was an embellishment of the story. And he came in and he said, I've got an announcement to make to the students of the school. All of you that thought you hadn't paid, yesterday, money came into the school to pay off every student's fees in this college. Every one of you have been paid for. I thought, that's fantastic. Then he prayed and he closed. It was a very short prayer. He didn't say much. He just said, time to give thanks. And he just dismissed the students. And he looked at me and said, if I could see you for a moment, please. I thought, oh, no. So I went to see him. And he said, I just want you to know, I did what you said. Every student's been paid, but your fees have not been paid. You've got till the end of the week. 3 days. In my heart, I thought, fantastic. At least all the other fellows and girls, they've got their money. That night, I went back to God. I said, God, I have got no money now. Even my money, my mother's savings have gone. And I just knelt there. I just waited in his presence. Please understand this. There are times you don't need to talk. Just bow before him. I was on my knees for, I know, for a number of hours, just in his presence, just waiting, thanking him. And suddenly that still small voice of the Holy Spirit inside me said, pray no more, you've got your money. I said, I've got my money. Oh, hallelujah, I can get into bed. That was my first thought. I can go to sleep now. I slept like a log. As a tree falls, so I lay. I got up for breakfast the following morning, early, 6 o'clock, we had to get up. Went down to breakfast, and there's a boy sitting opposite me. He was what I would call, Satan is my adversary, but he was near. He gave me a rough time. Gave me a rough time because I was one of two of the college students who had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. No other student was. And he certainly wasn't. He said, I've just heard that everybody else has got their money. I said, yes, isn't it wonderful? And he said, I heard you haven't got your money. Oh, I said, I have. Well, you didn't have it yesterday. I said, well, it's not yesterday. It's today. Then he said, the postman hasn't arrived. I said, I'm not dependent on the postman. I got up from the table, walked away, and said, oh, Lord, I want to thank you for the money you've promised me, and I want to thank you that you've given me this money. I have no clue, Lord, where it's coming from, but I want to thank you that I've got it. Amen. Went onto the grounds. I was working on the grounds, and I was just cutting some grass in the college grounds, and suddenly a man came. He said, excuse me, are you Kerry Jones? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's a gentleman at the gate of the college. Will you go there? Well, I said, sure, I will. And there was a man standing at the gate. He said, are you Kerry Jones? I said, yes, that's me. He said, well, I've got an envelope for you. I said, you have? He said, yes. He said, there is a preacher living up in the valleys. And he'd heard about you. And last week he was praying about you. And the Holy Spirit told him to send you this. Well, he said, here we are. He said, I've got to go. And he left. So I opened up this packet and there was money in it. Wow. But it was, now £1, 10, no, 12 kroner short of the full fees. 12 kroner short. I ran up to the office and I said to the lady there, here's my money. She looked at me and she said, you're 12 kroner short. I said, you'll have it today. She said, I'll believe with you.
Amen.
I walked down the stairs, and who should be coming along was my wonderful adversary. Carrying his suitcase as he was leaving the school for the term. He came up to me. He said, well, I'd better say goodbye. You'll probably be staying here because you haven't got your money. I said, I've got my money. So he reached out his hand and he shook my hand. And in his hand there was something. I said, thank you for the 12 kroner. He said, how did you know it's 12 kroner? I said, that's all I needed. I thought, 12 kroner. There's £1 at that time. He said, well, I'll see you next term. I said, yes. I ran up the stairs and the secretary was there. I said, here's the money. She said, Carrie, you paid all your fees. I said, that's right.
Hallelujah.
God told me he'd provide.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My young man friend who came back the next term saw me on the first day of the term. He said, as you know, last year, he said, all my fees were provided by the church. I said, that's right, I heard. He said, I've decided to trust God because I knew what you did last term and I thought I want to learn the lessons you've learned. The man who was seemingly my adversary became my closest friend in school. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost, became the director of the European Evangelistic Mission based in Germany. But he learned lessons of faith. Let me say this to you. God's not going to ask you to believe for £1 million if you can't believe for a 1 kroner stamp.
Yeah.
It's called a school of faith.
Yeah.
We have to learn.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I had to learn, is to trust God, to simply say to him, Father, you've got everything in your hands, and I'm coming to you, but faith is the assurance that you've got what you've prayed for. If you were trusting God to look after you, you don't need to ask for money. Let me say it to you again. If God asks you to do something for him and gives you a project to do for him, you don't need to ask anybody about the money. You have a right to ask him to supply the money. It's time in the house of God that money has not become our God. But our God is our God. You shall have no other gods before me. Let me give you an instance. My wife and I were in the States. We sometimes live in the States during the year. We have a home there. And we were in a particular meeting, and a very godly lady, a black lady, black sister, she came forward in the meeting. She had so many illnesses, it seemed. And she stood in this meeting and she stood up and said to us all, I have worshipped idols for a long time. And we thought, she's worshipped idols for a long time? She's a godly lady. And suddenly she said, let me explain it to you. I was kneeling in the presence of God, and the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit said this to me, you've got an idol in your life. And she said, Lord, I've got no idols in my life. He said, who do you talk about and what do you talk about most of the time? She said, well, I talk about my sickness. He said, that's an idol. What you talk about most of the time is really the one who occupies your attention. She said, I asked God to forgive me. I said to him, Lord, I'll never talk about my sickness again. You are my health and you are my healer. Instantaneously, she was healed from every sickness they told her she had. Can I say that to you this evening? Don't talk about your sickness. We don't want to know. I want you to talk about the Lord who is a healer. And he's more than a healer. He's your health keeper. He is Jehovah, your health. That's a lot different to just Jehovah, your healer. God wants to keep you healthy. But she had faith that was substance. Faith is the substance, the knowing of things. Now, let me say this. Turn you to 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by believing and not by seeing. We live by believing. We live by faith, not by sight. Faith takes us beyond the curtain that separates this world from the eternal. Faith takes us from this world, what we see by our natural sight. Faith takes you into the world of the eternal. That is, faith takes you into reality, not shadow. Don't base your life on what you naturally see. The person of faith sees the invisible. How many of you can remember a prophet who suddenly said to people, or he called a servant over, and he said, rain's coming. Remember that prophet?
Yes.
Which one was he?
Elijah.
He said to the servant, I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Go up and see. And the man came back, I don't see anything. The prophet said, go up again. Came back, I don't see anything. Go up again, I don't see anything. 7 times he went, I don't see anything. Why was the prophet sending him up? Because he heard something. He was hearing something that was getting closer. He said, you better go up again. Getting closer. Getting closer. Getting closer, and suddenly he comes back. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. What did the prophet? First, he heard what the natural ear couldn't hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He just wasn't hearing thunder, he heard a voice of God saying, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And before it was visible, the prophet had already seen. He said, there's a sound of abundance of rain. That little hand is going to be an abundance of rain. But I heard it before I saw it. Faith people see beyond what is natural. That is why faith people can tell you things that are going to happen, because they've seen it or they've heard it. That is why prophets can declare things to us, because they've heard and they've seen what we don't see. That's why they can say what they can say and we can't. I like being around these people. There's a silence in the house. That's okay, sir. Don't worry, that's another visual aid. Oh, how he loves you and me. Anything broken? Nothing broken? Just broken. Is it a cup? Is it a cup? That's okay. You think he broke a cup? A prophet broke a cup one time. Did you know that? Do you know the prophet that threw the cup against the wall? Snapped in two? You need to read that story. Anyway, if you don't know it, read. Right. Hebrews chapter 11:3. It's a very important verse, this. And this, I believe, is going to help you all overcome in life. How many of you really want to live an overcoming life? right? Hebrews 11:3. Wonderful verse, this. It's been a great scripture that's helped me in my life. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was framed by the Word of God. That what we now see did not come from anything that we can see. The world was not made out of nothing. The world was not made out of nothing. It's like God didn't just grasp a handful of vacuous air. The world was framed by the Word of God. Is there a picture here? You know, a photograph, a picture? Anyone got a picture, photograph? No? How many of you have seen a picture? Thank you. You're very kind. Here is a picture. Okay? Here's the picture. I could take this to a framer and say, will you put a frame around this? The frame will enhance the photograph. It will not detract from the photograph. Frames are not for that. A frame is to highlight, to cause you to see the wonderful picture that's before you. The world, the cosmos, is only beautiful because it's framed by the Word of God. There isn't anything that can enter this world before it goes through the frame of the Word of God. There isn't anything that can go out of this picture unless it goes through the frame of the Word of God. The whole world is framed by the Word of God. Who frames your world? What frames your world? What frames your world in your teaching in your school? What frames your world when you're a doctor in medicine? What frames your world when you are in research? Is your world framed by the Word of God? When you're facing difficulties and challenges with your fellow work or colleague, but the Word says, fear not, I am with you. When the Word says, don't worry, no weapon formed against you will prosper. When the Word says, I am with you always, you're framing it. There isn't anything that can touch you outside of God's permission. Even the devil, he will use the devil to bring about his purpose. You say he'll bring the devil? Yes. Do you realize if Satan had only known what he did on the cross? He wouldn't have put Jesus on the cross. The Bible tells you this in the epistles. If the prince of darkness had only known what he was doing when he put the prince of glory on the cross and shouted out, it's the end! And all heaven heard that cry from Satan. And they said, you have no clue about the wisdom of God. You crucified one, I'm going to produce millions. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. You understand?
Yeah.
God will use anything for his purpose. The only purpose in the world is for God's purpose. You have been saved for God's purpose. You've not been saved for yourself. Although that's the bonus. We have been saved for his purpose. To worship him. That's the purpose. To the praise of his glory.
I like that.
I like it anyway. The world is framed with the word of God. Now, please understand, wherever you go on Monday, Monday's a wonderful day. It's the second day of the week. You've already gone through one when you're worn out. Now you face the second day. And you go to work. And you meet people. And you meet challenges. And you meet people are watching you all the time. They watch you smile all the time. And they realize you don't smile all the time. They watch you when you hit a bumper and you're suddenly challenged. And they watch your reaction. They do certain things and they hear what you say. They don't hear the expletives coming out of your mouth that comes out of other people's mouth. And they begin to, what's wrong with that guy? Rather than saying, what's right with him? What's wrong with you? Now, when people come to you and say, what's wrong with you? You say, nothing wrong with me. I'm the normal one here. I really am. I don't know. I've told it so many times. The way the world talks to the Christian believer, what the world says is up, you Christian says is down. What the Christian says is out, the world says is in. You go into a shop and sometimes I've told you this story. Sometimes I've been into a store and I give the lady money and she gives me the wrong change. She gives me more back than I gave her. So I'm going out and I look at the change and think, wow, I gave her 2 kroner and she gave me 3 back. I like this store.
No.
You turn around and say, you go back into the store and you see a line. Well, in Britain, you see a line. In Norway, you see a scrum. You're trying to get through everywhere. Everyone's getting there. So you get to the lady and you say, excuse me, you've given me the wrong change. No, I haven't. I haven't given you the wrong change. Yes, you've given me the wrong change. I gave you... No, I haven't. Well, I said, I'm just... Come in, I gave you 2 kroner and you give me 3 back. I did? Well, yes, look. Oh, what's wrong with you? I said, well, nothing wrong with me. I just came to tell you, you gave me 3. I only gave you 2. And I've got a bag of sweets, bag of candy. I paid for it, and suddenly you're giving me 3 back and the candy. You've made a mistake. Then the next thing is, what's wrong with you? See, the world doesn't understand that. Sometimes you go into stores over in Norway, you must do it because it rains a lot in England, it rains a lot here too. And you walk into the store and you go to the lady and she says, terrible day, isn't it? No, it's a wonderful day. Can't be careless with my mouth, this is the day the Lord's made. So it can't be a terrible day, the Lord doesn't make terrible things. And they look at you and say, what's wrong with you? Nothing, I'm normal. Keep smiling, turn to somebody and smile. Turn to somebody and smile. Let them know you're okay and you're alive. So the Bible says... Romans 10 and 17, you know, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. But you're never going to hear if you don't listen. You got your antenna up. Your spiritual antenna. I want to hear what God is saying to me. And all the noise and all the babble, even in church meetings. Noise, 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 noise. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to tell you this. It's to listen, what is the Spirit saying? He who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. That's the time, that's the issue of the day. What is the Spirit saying? What does the Spirit say about the church? What does the Spirit say to the church? What does the Spirit tell you about our world? He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says, for faith comes by hearing. Now please notice, faith is never static. Faith is always movement. Faith comes. Faith will come to you. You can be in a meeting and suddenly, this is what the Apostle Paul said, I think it's in Acts chapter 14 or somewhere around there. He's preaching and he suddenly looked at a man. It says this, and he saw that he had faith to be healed. The man sat in an attitude of faith. Just think, tomorrow, you're in this auditorium or in this room, and you're all sitting with an attitude of faith. No cripple will leave the room crippled. No person sick in body, whether it's of blood disease or organic disease, will leave the room with the same problem. It's living with an attitude of faith. Faith isn't something, I got it today and gone today. Got it today, gone tomorrow. Faith is an attitude. Coming to the Word, when you feel absolutely dried up, when you feel you can't go on, don't live on your feelings. Enemy says, you're absolutely dry, Kerry. No, I'm not. My roots are in God. Do you know there's no dry root in God? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He spoke to a Samaritan woman. He says, don't you understand? I'm not talking to you about well water. I don't need this water outside. I'm talking to you about a well I'm going to put into you. Now listen to this. Listen to this, brothers and sisters in Christ. He who drinks of this water will never, ever thirst again. That's why I always get trouble when I'm in meetings and Christians say, I'm thirsty. Well, Jesus said, you'd never thirst again. That's a strange thing that a Christian could say that. I'm thirsty. Well, he said, you'd never thirst again. So how can you be thirsty if he said? I didn't say he said it. Listen, see, we've got to get away from the jargon, the words that we hear lots of people say, but they're not according to the Word. The Holy Spirit doesn't hop in and hop out. He's a permanent person inside you and me. People say, well, when Jesus was at the end of the great feast, he suddenly says, calls unto people, all of you thirsty, come unto me and drink, and I was so and so and so and so. Yeah, he did. He did when he was alive. But he's gone back to glory. He sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has come to live in us. Jesus didn't live in us. Jesus was outside of men. He's come to live in people by his Spirit. He says, and once that happens, there's a well in you that you'll never thirst again. There's never a time when you should be in drought. There's never a time where you should be hungry. This is what he's got here. You read this word and you feed on this word and you just think, boy, I'm just so full, I've got to go out and exercise. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell others about him. I've got to work off for the food that he's been giving me. That's why you find so many Christians who are fat. I don't mean literally. Christians are not like that. But certainly, lots of people attend worship seminars, teaching seminars, and the auditoriums are filled. Then they get to an evangelism seminar. Very few attend. I'm only telling you the truth, folks. I'm sometimes in evangelistic seminars in America and Britain. Very few Christians even attend. And down the road is a worship seminar, because they all love worshiping Jesus, but they don't really like going out to tell people about Jesus, because they don't understand that doing that is also worship. Worship is a little section of a meeting where we all sing praise and we all love the songs. Nothing wrong in that. But that's not worship. Worship is life. And Jesus said, Kerry, you drink of this water and you will never, ever, ever, ever thirst again. And I said, that's what I want. Hello? Turn to somebody now and say, I just want you to know, don't look at my face, I'm really happy. Now, if you'll turn with me, please, to Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. Little story here. Jesus calms the storm. Luke chapter 8, verses 22. Following, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat, started out. They sailed across. Jesus settled down for a nap, for a sleep. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up. It's a terrible thing to do. Just think, the Lord is sleeping and somebody has the audacity to wake him up. Master, 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 we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked him, where's your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They asked each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him. Let me say this to you now about what the devil tries to do. If the enemy cannot stop the word coming to you, he'll try to get it out of you. What did Jesus say to these men? Let's go over. They said, we're going under. He said, we're going over. They said, we're going under. That's a nice song. Where are the musicians with these songs? Where are the musicians to say, put the song, the words of Habakkuk, woe unto you and woe unto you. We never sing songs like that. You say, we won't get anybody buying those records or those CDs. Well, you need to. You need to have a song. Let's go over, let's go under. Let's go over, let's go under. Let's go over, let's go under. What boat would you like to be in? With those who want to go over or those who want to go under? I know what boat I want to be in. I want to be with the people who want to go over. Now Jesus said, let's go over. That's the word that's entered into them. Let's go over. It says, and they were filled with fear. Somebody had got inside them to take out the word that had been planted. Yeah. If the devil can't stop the word coming to you, he certainly wants to get it out of you once it's in you. Faith says no. How many of you have had a real going over by, not Satan, but one of his emissaries? They've told you all the rotten things that you've ever done and all the bad things you are, and basically they just simply tell you you're just no good. Has anybody ever had that happen to you, to them?
Yes.
A few of us. The rest of us, let's be honest. Now, the devil is not like God. He can't be everywhere at one time. He's not omnipresent. So if you ever told me the devil's been after you, I'd say that's fine. Because he's not going to trouble the rest of us. It's okay, folks. I'm just telling you the truth. It's just in a palatable way.
Yeah.
It's just in a nice way to get you laughing. I don't want you filled with fear.
Yeah.
But he can't be after you and after me at the same time.
No.
So if you say he's after you, I say, that's fine. Just get on with life. Life is to be enjoyed, folks.
Yeah.
You understand that? So the word of God comes to you, and faith comes by hearing. Faith comes to you. You can be in this meeting, and suddenly you hear somebody preaching, or somebody praying, or somebody prophesying, and you've had a concern for something, and suddenly the word comes to you, and you hear it and say, I've got it.
Amen.
I've got it. I've got the answer. I know the answer to that problem. I know the answer to that need. I've got it.
Amen.
Faith comes. Now that it's come, somebody knows about that. Who knows about it? God knows about it. Holy Spirit knows about it. Jesus knows about it. You know about it. But now that you've got it, faith has come, you say about it. You say, I've got it. And once you say it, the enemy knows you've got it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to take it out of you. And the thing that he uses most of all is fear. Fear and faith cannot work together. Perfect love removes all fear. The disciples, word, go over, it says, and they were filled with fear. What is in them has been removed. What's come in is fear. There are people in this room that have fears. God doesn't want you to have fears. And the one thing he wants to do is to frame your world with his word. Frame the world with you, with his word. These are some of the fears that I meet when I go to various meetings around the different places of the countries of the world. People come and they say, I've got a pain in my right arm. I said, you've got a pain in your right arm, okay? My mother had a pain in her right arm and she died. Yes. You know, it seems so comical, doesn't it? And it is in one way, but there's a fear.
Yeah.
What happened to my mother is going to happen to me.
Yeah.
No. That is what an enemy tells you. The word of God is simply, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But whispers. I know that they sold their house and God opened up another door for them to have another house quickly. You were selling your house. It's not going to happen like that for you. Yes, it is. God's got no favorites. Even though you hear some preachers say it, God's got no favorites. The word says it. He's got no favorites. What he's done for others, he will do for you. If you'll only believe and trust him to For God is a good God, and his goodness he will show to you. God is a good God. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. If you will only believe and trust him too. For God is a good God. We've got to learn to simply, my framework is here. I'm not going to allow the enemy take out of my life what the seed of God's been planted in me. I'm going to live and walk by faith. For God will never contradict the word he's spoken to you. He's not the God of yes and no. He's the God of yes and yes. So fears are not here to dominate your life. Faith is. For the just, not just the preacher, but the just, us, will live by faith. Today you will live an overcoming life. Tomorrow there are no dips. Our life is not like this. It's not the hills that are alive with the sound of music. There are people you meet like that in life. Sometimes they come along and they all, hello, Kerry, how are you today? Great. How are you? Wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. Then you need to meet them the next day. So you say, hello, how are you today? Not so good today. Let me pray for you then. No. Prayer didn't work for me yesterday. It's not going to work today. Well. Know what God loves? A temperature of faith that's normal. Every day if you met Jesus, you'd say, hello, Jesus, how are you today? Fantastic. Well, I know it's the Sabbath, Lord. What's it going to be like tomorrow? Fantastic. You've had 3 days with these disciples, Lord. They don't believe at all. How are you feeling? Fantastic. Don't you think you should give up on some of them? No, I think they're fantastic. Turn to somebody now and say, I think you're fantastic.
I think you're fantastic.
I think you're fantastic too. I see you looking here. She looked the other way. I'll close with this one scripture. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, in my paraphrase idea, it says, faith continuously increases. Faith continuously increases. You say, well, how can faith increase? Well, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith comes. And now I do what he says. Faith comes. The word comes. And I do what he says. And as long as I keep doing what he says, I'm going to find one thing out all the time. Yeah. If I only do what he says will always come to pass.
Yes. Yes.
And my faith increases.
Yes. Amen.
I can depend on him.
Yes.
Every time he tells me something and I do what he says,
yes,
he always fulfills it.
Yes.
Man isn't going to live by bread alone.
No.
That's the world's way.
Yeah.
But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yes.
Now, how many of you have read the story somewhere in Genesis, I think it's chapter 20 or something like that, when Abram is going up a mountain with his son? How many of you read the story? Okay, you've read the story, you know the story. And God says to him, what does God say to him? Now, this is a child of promise. This is Isaac, the son of promise. We already went through Abram last night when God told him, you know, if you really want a son, something's got to be done about it. And then biologically it happened, and praise God, he became the child of promise. Now God tells him to take the child of promise. What he tells him to do? Take him up the mountain and sacrifice him. Kill him. What did Abraham do? He obeyed. Took his son. Starts climbing the mountain. Gets up to the mountain. His son says to him, Dad, I can see the wood. See the altar. Where's the sacrifice? Abram says, the Lord will provide. Lays the son on the altar. What's the word in him? Take your son up and sacrifice him. Did God say it or didn't he? You're not sure. Please turn with me to the Bible. This is very important right now. If you're going to forget everything else I've said this time, over these few days, don't forget this, will you please? It's going to save you a lot of anxiety in life. Let's see where it's found. 22. Thank you. 22. Take your son, your only son, verse 2, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. The next morning, Abram got up early. Didn't delay. It's what the Lord said, got up early, he's going to do it. Now notice what he was going to do. He had to go up a mountain to sacrifice his son. The son of promise. Do you know why he was able to do that? The New Testament tells us why. Because he knew whether he did it or not, God could raise that son from the dead. But he took his son up, laid him on an altar, raised a knife. Why? This is what the Lord told him to do. This is the word that the Lord told him to do when he's down the mountain. He raised the knife. And the knife is about to come down, and suddenly he heard a voice, stop! And at that moment he stopped. Because he was living by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Never ever by faith live on a word that's past its sale date. Live on the word of faith that comes to you now. Don't live on a word that was spoken to you years ago. You've got to go upstairs and find the prophecy that came in 1965 or 1992 to try and find something. Live on the word that God is speaking to you now. Stop! Do no harm to the child. And there was a ram in the thicket. The Lord will provide. Abram's teaching us a lesson. Don't live on a past word, live on a present one. Faith lives on a now word, for faith is now. I want you to learn that, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you really want to go on with Jesus. I want you to live with a living word now. What has God said to you now? Don't try to conjure it up and get another prophecy or go to a prophet like a psychic. There's a lot of Christians like that. Sorry to tell you, but I live in a real world. And I live in a real world of Christianity that many places is an absolute sham and a disgrace. Send me $20 and I'll give you a bottle of oil from Israel. Go there yourself, you can get it free. Send me $20 and I'll give you a prophecy. You say, is it like that? Just go to America. It's like a zoo. Not God. You just live by this word. Live by this word. Test every word that you hear, seemingly from a prophetic word, or from a prophet, or people saying they are prophets. Test it by the word of God. Don't believe any word that comes your way. If you're not sure, submit it to the elders of the church. Say, will you give an evaluation of this, please? Lay it at the feet of other prophets. Will you give an evaluation of this, please? Will you tell me what you think about the word? So I'm not making a private interpretation of something that's come my way. But I want to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you will do that, take time out this year. If you've not read your Bible through it and you kind of got halfway and you gave up, try again next year and say, I'm going to start again. Read your Bible through. Read your Bible. Mark your Bible. Just mark it. Sometimes my Bible is so marked I can't even read what there is there. But mark it. Don't be afraid to mark the pages. Make notes in it. What has the Holy Spirit told you? Because if the Holy Spirit tells you something when you've read the scriptures, that is the word of God to your life. Mark it in your Bible. You will never, ever forget that word. You will hear thousands of sermons in your life that you will forget. They mean nothing to you at all. But when you were reading the scriptures and the Holy Spirit says, that's for you, Kerry, you'll never, ever forget that word. You can be in meetings and expect some wonderful miracles and believe for them and you'll see them. The one thing I want to see in your life is this, that the walk of faith will enable you to fulfill your destiny. And your life is one continuous miracle. Even though you may not see many of them. Your life is one continuous deliverance. Although you may not know they're happening. Because in the invisible world. Oh, hallelujah. There's a man in the heavens. Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's watching over all of us. Amen. Many times we stand up in meetings and give testimony to the way God's delivered us in this world. And God says, you don't even know half. You don't know the time when you were on that road going down in that car and that truck was coming to you. You didn't even know it was coming your way. And I told you, just take a side road here. And you just took a side road thinking, oh, I just felt to take a side road. And God says, no, I was telling you to take a side road because that truck hit at somebody else. Yeah. God has often delivered you when you didn't even know it. God's delivered me many times and I never even thought about it. Why? Because he's good. He's got a purpose for your life. He wants you to achieve it. Frame your world by the word of faith. Frame your world by his word. That nothing will come your way except through the word. Learn to speak out against an enemy. An enemy will come in this. You're no good. Yes, I am. I am who he says I am. I was preaching in the Bible week this year in England. And I just come from the States. And the enemy was trying to give me a bit of a beating up. Sometimes you get that. You're telling me where I'd fail and what I'd done this and done this and done this and done this. And he said, you're a failure. I didn't like that. Now, I'm not asking you to talk back to him, but I just felt I should tell him something. He said, you haven't done so good yourself. Said you were cursed in the garden, got beaten on the cross, beaten in the resurrection, and you've got no destiny other than a lake of fire. I regard that as failure. And I've chosen not to be with you. I've chosen to be with Jesus. He's the King of my life.
Hallelujah.
And I only accept what he tells me about myself. I'm chosen in him. He is my righteousness. And therefore I feel I'm a success because of him. So don't trouble me anymore. I close the conversation. I just praise the Lord. Now I'm not advocating that you do that, but just think. He's not been a very good success. Understand this.
Yes.
He's been very foolish.
Yes.
And in the end, he's going to look foolish.
Yes.
And the systems of this world are going to look foolish.
Yes.
And the religious systems of this world are going to look foolish.
Yes.
For Babylon, quote, is going to fall. And apostles and prophets will rejoice.
Yes.
And the saints of God will rejoice.
Yes.
That all these systems have fallen. And the heavenly city.
Yes.
The church of the living God.
Yes.
Is coming through to be the top of the mountains.
Amen.
I just suddenly find my feet becoming like hinds feet. I feel like dancing.
Yes. Hallelujah. Woo.
But I can't do that because it's late. I'd rather wiggle my toes in my bed. Father, I want to thank you that you were so good. I want to thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. I just want to thank you for looking at their faces. It gives me joy. You've done such a great job in our lives. Great job. I just want to thank you what you saved us from. And more than that, what you've given to us. You've removed everything that was wrong and put in everything that's right. And now we look at each other and say, God's done a good work in your life. And I say to myself, God, you've done a good work in my life. And tonight we go to sleep and we go to rest with a joy in our hearts knowing there is nobody better in the whole world to serve than to serve the risen Savior. I pray your blessing will be upon everybody here. I want their lives to be successful. I want them to be able to make an imprint in this world. That men and women will be able to see that a Christian lived here. A Christian walked here. I want every life in this room to be from this moment on a life that's overcoming. That every one of us will frame our world with the Word of God. That you learn us and teach us to speak your word at all times when an enemy comes. But we'll learn the promises of your word and just confess them. I want to thank you that every prayer that we're going to pray, led by your Spirit, will receive an answer. For this I thank you. And just thank you for being here, hosting our time. And for this we thank you. Amen. Now turn to somebody, please. Turn to somebody. Are you awake? Turn to somebody and please. Say this. I wish you a good night's rest. I wish you a good night's rest. I wanted to sleep well.